number 11.
I appreciate all your prayers, praying for Lexi and I as we were traveling, and traveling down to Iowa and back. It was good. Good time for us, good time for the church, and we could just pray for that church because they don't have a pastor right now. And I was telling the missionary before church that not very many people want to go and pastor in a town of 700 people because there's not, you know, not a lot of people. But there's churches out there that need a pastor. And there's even churches out there that need to make decisions about swallowing their pride and even maybe collectively join to a different church, and because there's about a Baptist church every 10 miles, just because of church splits in that area, especially. And it's amazing to me how that all happened in the first place. But there's a great need for pastors. There's a great need for churches in that area that are striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's amazing. If the trip did nothing else but encourage us to love our church more, that's what it did, because it really made it made you thankful seeing all these little churches in every town, and most of them don't have a pastor and they're just trying to survive. And it's not like that here. We're blessed here. Don't take your local church for granted. Have one this big that's still preaching the word of God in a small town. Where it may not seem like we're doing much here in Custer, South Dakota, but we really are. So don't take it ever for granted. The Vacation Bible School was very good. A little discouraging at first. There was Sunday night. We had two kids. The folks there, they had canvassed the one town of 700 that was closest to it, about 3 minutes away. And a little bit in a different town, but we went to all the towns around Monday and Tuesday within like a 15-mile radius, you know, because people drive that far. And, you know, little towns of 300, 200, 50, 5, a dog, you know. But we canvassed all the towns on Monday and Tuesday, and we were done, and we still only have 5 kids. So after that, you kind of just have to pray them in, because you don't want to, unless you double up, and we did do some of that. But by the end, so we had two on Sunday night. The program there runs from Sunday night to Thursday night, and then a Friday night is the end of the carnival night, the store, the family night. So we had two on Sunday night, then we had 5 on Monday, and then 9 on Tuesday, and then 4 on Wednesday night, and that's because kids went to their churches on Wednesday night. Thursday we had a high of 13. And then on Friday night, the closing night, middle-aged dad and his teenage son and his two boys showed up. So we had 15 on Friday closing night. And just for the program, wasn't there throughout the whole week. They were wanting to come. The kids were wanting to come, but the flyer got shoved underneath something on the counter. But we're glad to make that contact, and the church was excited down there for those contacts, and continuing to work in the future, and hopefully getting a pastor soon. It really opened your eyes to some things, and let me just say, you know, and it helps that my dad is gone, but let me just say that your pastor is not just a blessing, it's a need. You really need somebody to keep the train moving forward. And be thankful. And I'm not just saying, I would say that about my pastor even if he weren't my dad. But I appreciate all your support and coming on Sunday night and listening. I'll try to be short tonight. Hebrews 11 and chapter number, Hebrews 11 and verse number 31. This is the Hall of Faith chapter, talking about a lot of heroes of faith and summarizing what they did and what God did through them. And verse 31 says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I always stop and think, wow, when I read that verse, that little phrase, in parentheses, no less. In parentheses, God says about these people, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this evening service. Lord, I just pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, it's my desire to be encouragement to your people tonight and also be a challenge. I pray, Lord, that it would be taken the right way, that it would be preached and presented the right way, and that I would be using your strength only. Lord, you said, without me, we can do nothing. I just pray, Lord, that I would rely on you during this message, Lord, and people would receive a blessing from it. I pray, Lord, you be with us now as we look in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking at let's start at Hebrews chapter 11. Just look over the summary. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All that we see, creation, was not made of things which appear. God made creation out of nothing. And through faith, we have to understand that. By faith, verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel offered a sacrifice to God and got killed for it, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. We all read the story of Abel, and even though he's dead, he's still testimony to us. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. If all your testimony is that you pleased God. Wow. Enoch, his testimony was he pleased God, and he walked into heaven. God just took him, and he was not found. And all his testimony was that he pleased God. What faith? Verse 6, but without faith, it is hard to please him. But without faith, it is difficult to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So can you please God without faith? No. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not that he was, not that he will be, but that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you really believe that God rewards people who seek him? Do you really believe that? Because if you really believed that, it would change your life. You would seek him constantly. You would seek him diligently. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. We see Noah, and he had so much faith in what God said and what God said he was going to do that he was fearful. He was afraid. He moved with fear. There's a certain haste that comes with fear. My mom had the opportunity to run into a bull snake at camp this summer. And when she saw the snake, she moved with fear. And Noah, it says, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We need to be building arcs, not getting up with the world, not linking arms with the world, but we need to be building arcs. We need building an ark that people can can come into because the world is condemned. And by the way, by doing so, Noah became the heir of the righteousness. He was it when they got off the ark. Heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith. By faith. I've heard this said that Noah couldn't save the whole world, but he could save his family. And by saving his family, he saved the whole world. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Think about it. God called Abraham to go out from his family, from his kindred, from everything with him, and go into a strange country just because God said to do so. And he obeyed and received the promises. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then it talks about Sarah. She received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child, Isaac, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Abraham was just about as good as dead when somebody's here on earth is about 100 years old. We're just waiting for them to go. Abraham was as good as dead. But out of him, because of his faith, God produced the stars of the sky in multitude for a nation, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. How can you embrace something you can't see? Or how can you embrace something that you is not reality, but you just have faith that you're seeing them afar off? But they were persuaded of them and embraced them. Would to God that we had Christians that were persuaded of whom they had believed in and embraced it and then confessed it to the world that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they had been thinking about the country behind them when they're going toward the country in front of them, they might have had opportunity to turn around and go back, but they had kept their mind on the country in front of them. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac had to realize that even though Jacob deceived and got the birthright, Isaac, according to this verse, he blessed him. And it's possible, maybe, some chance, he could have maybe reversed it. But you know what? He had to have faith that how it happened was the way that God wanted it to. Even though it was by deceit. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph told the children of Israel, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Take my bones with you. I want to be buried in the promised land. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, talking about his parents' faith, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming. That's not accepting. Accepting is different than the word esteeming. What does the word esteeming have to do with differently than a word accepting? Accepting the reproach of Christ is almost like we're trying to get all of us geared to just accept the reproach of Christ. But you know what Moses did? He esteemed it. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had respect to the reward. Remember what verse 6 said, but without faith is impossible to please him. That we need to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They had to, by faith, do what God said. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, she had to throw out that scarlet cord. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. David obtained a promise of God that Jesus would come through his lineage. Stopped to the mouths of lions, Daniel. Quenched the violence of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped to the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, Gideon. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the strangers in the land. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Think of the widows in Elijah and Elisha's day who received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured. Kind of flips now. There's a colon, women received their dead raised to life again, and then all of a sudden here's some things that doesn't sound so good. But by the way, these all by faith did that. So if we can by faith do what God wants us to do, that's awesome and victorious. We can by faith do the things that are hard and suffer and give our lives, be it may, by faith. It's all by faith. Life is by faith. Living by faith, the song says. Not accepting deliverance. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, gave moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Think about the Apostle Paul. Stoned. They were sawn asunder. History says that Prophet Isaiah was sawn in half by the King Manasseh. King Manasseh was the wicked king, the wicked son of King Hezekiah. Sawn asunder, not this way, hung upside down. Sawn asunder, slow, painful, terrible deaths. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, John the Baptist, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And then verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Wow. We just went through the elite. And it said, of whom the whole world was not worthy, it was talking about the people that he didn't have time to describe. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And I was reading through my Bible, and I'm looking at all these awesome, awesome characters. And they did great things for God, not just in victory, but in death, in torture. John, boiled in oil. Peter, crucified upside down. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And I think, wow, if I could have their faith. Verse 39, it says, and these all, everybody who just talked about in chapter 11, having obtained a good report through faith. And then what I'm expecting to read next is like, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, are going to be the elite in heaven. They are going to be the top man. I'm going to have to go through Peter to get to God in heaven. I'm going to have to go through Paul to get to God in heaven. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, what does it say next? Received not the promise. They did not receive the promise. Verse 40. God having provided, switches gears now. It's no longer talking about the past. You know what I was talking about now? God having provided some better thing for us. For us. That they, talking about in these all, without us, should not be made perfect. So they didn't receive the promise. They received not the promise, not indefinitely, but they didn't receive the promise without us. We see the forerunners. If you're taking notes, we see the forerunners through chapter 11 up to 38. But besides just looking at the forerunners, we see our forerunners. We see also, though, our future. I just want to encourage you this, and I'm going to be short. That was just about it. But we see all of that. And you know what it says? Even though as great as those people were, they do not get heaven without you and I. Just think about that. That should sober us. Because I can't match up with David. I can't match up with Moses. I can't do the things that Samson did in his flesh. But they received not the promise. Why? Because God had provided some better thing for you and I. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. Isn't that awesome? That is so... I have no excuse to not obey Jesus Christ. I have no reason to not have faith in Jesus Christ. He is giving me everything that all these mighty men of faith and men and women had. And God is going to put us in the same heaven as them. And then, so we see our forerunners, we see our future, and then we see our following. And then we come to the great few verses in chapter number 12. Read it. Doesn't it make so much more sense when you put it in this context? Wherefore, seeing we also, wherefore, because of all that we just read in chapter 11, because God is providing something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Because we're seeing all of that, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If we are wearied and faint in our minds in living the Christian life, we need to not only look at our forerunners in the Old Testament and the New Testament and things that they did in the hall of faith, ultimately, we can look at Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. I often wondered, well, let us run with patience. But the phrase running with patience does not give us a pass to be lazy. Because we're still running. But we're running with patience. We're running. You know, I don't like to run. Why? Because I lose patience with my running. I don't want to run anymore. I am tired of running. I don't like to run. But let us run with patience. It doesn't say that we don't have to run. Says we need to run still with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author, he started it, he finished it, of our faith. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I just want to encourage you with that tonight. That's really it. Think about the people in the Hall of Faith. But when we call it the Hall of Faith, the last two verses include us with them. And if you're like me, you're saying to yourself, I don't deserve that. And if I don't deserve that, if I feel like I don't deserve my wife, I'm going to be every day treating her like something I got that I didn't deserve. And we need to be treating our Christian life as something that we don't deserve. Through faith, faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. And we're included in that list. And if sometimes it may be hard to follow, laying aside the weights and the sin, remember, those same people are our witnesses. And they're just waiting for us to go. So then we can all be together in heaven. They are treating you and I as if we were Rahab, having faith. Jephthah, Samuel. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God hath providing some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, just for this little thought-provoking challenge, Lord. I pray, Lord, that it would be used in whatever way you want it. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would go home and think about what your word says and how awesome it is, how undeserving we are. And yet you're including us in something that should never be. And we just need to have faith in you to lay aside the weight and the sin and run with patience. I pray, Lord, that you would help me in my life, that I would lay aside the weights and the sin which doth so easily beset me. I pray, Lord, that I would not be lazy, but running, and be patient. Pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight as a church. Lord, help the ones who aren't here, that they would be missing church right now, and that they would be back with us next time, Lord. Pray that you bless us and give us safety as we travel home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.